This is Tuesday, December 3rd, 2019. Dr. 3 talks about Descent of Dragons, and I have one last chat with the Ringmaster. This is episode 299.
When the servers go down, we'll tell you what's up. You're listening to Realm Maintenance.
Ladies and gentlemen, lackeys and dragons, podcasters and podcastees, welcome to Realm Maintenance. I'm Brian Black, also known to many of you as Ro. Now, I hope you had a great Thanksgiving if you're in America. And for everyone else, well, I hope you enjoyed the Black Friday sales online. I know I took advantage of a couple myself. Now, the holidays usually mean there are fewer podcasts to listen to because, well, in many cases, podcasters have families too. That being said, today, I'm going to tell you about four new podcasts for the first time, as well as a show that's made an unexpected return. Before we get to that, though, let's recap the latest happenings in the games that these shows cover as we go around the world of Blizzard in 80 seconds. Today marks the arrival of Deathwing the Destroyer in Heroes of the Storm, along with a number of changes to the game that include Nexus Anomalies, a seasonal gameplay feature that affects the entire game. The first anomaly causes minions to drop experience point globes rather than award experience points outright. The next patch for Hearthstone arrives on December 5th, just before the pre-release weekend for Descent of Dragons. On that day, all of the wild cards that have temporarily been part of the standard pool will retire back to WoW. Battlegrounds changes will also be coming to the game on the 5th. Descent of Dragons itself will release next Tuesday on the 10th. When news is running a little on the light side here, I like to toss in some trivia about the current state of raiding in WoW. According to fan site Raider.io, 600 guilds have conquered all 8 bosses of the Eternal Palace on Mythic difficulty, while close to 11,000 raiding guilds have defeated Ashara on Heroic mode. The Darkmoon Fair is up and running in WoW this week, which means even more reputation and experience gain bonuses stacked on what you get from the anniversary event. Wintervale in World of Warcraft starts 2 weeks from today. And finally, the four BlizzCon 2019 panels for Warcraft, Hearthstone, Diablo, and Overwatch have been uploaded by Blizzard to YouTube, making them available for everyone to watch once again.
Time's up. Let's do this.
It's once again time for show notes, where I mention some of the more notable podcast episodes that have been put out there during the past few weeks. Let's start off with World of Warcraft podcasts and the pair of shows getting their first mention in this segment. People of Azeroth is a new podcast that started in early November and already has several episodes out there for your listening pleasure, the most recent of which features Allie from All Things Azeroth and Dungeon Fables. But honestly, one of the things that intrigues me about this show is that most of the interviews so far are players that I didn't know about. The show is currently available on most major podcast apps, and you can follow it on Twitter at PeopleOfAzeroth1. In other words, at PeopleOfAzeroth, replace the H with a 1. There you go. The next new show to mention has actually been around a bit longer than you'd think, and this is one that has just flown under the radar for a while. The show is called Titanforge, hosted by Tethels, Trell, and Dratnos. Now, these guys are World Top 50 Raiders, MDI veterans, and Twitch streamers that aim to bring their expertise and love for the game to you. The show can be found in all the usual places, as well as titanforge.libsyn.com. Follow the show on Twitter, at TitanforgeWow. Moving on to guest appearances, Jason Lucas from The Starting Zone is on this week's episode of The Rolling Restart, chatting with me about rewards and prestige in WoW. Meanwhile, Jay the Bard has had a pair of very special guests on the most recent episodes of The Bard's Tavern. Episode 47 features the voice of Sylvanas herself, Patty Matson, and on episode 48, you'll get to learn more about Andrew Morgado, the voice talent behind High Overlord Sarfang. If you play WoW and haven't been listening to Convert to Raid, all I can say is, why? Well, actually, I can also say congratulations to Stats, better known on Twitter as @WarcraftStats, for becoming a new regular crew member on CTR, and folks, some of his puns on that show are almost fortune cookie worthy. Listeners of the show from its earlier days will get what I mean by that. They are that good. Or are they really that bad? You can decide. Speaking of earlier days, a longtime absent podcast from the Diablo community recently made its return after a 6-month hiatus. The Diablo podcast is back, fueled by the hype of news surrounding the development of Diablo 4. A search for the Diablo podcast will help you easily find it on Apple Podcasts and elsewhere. You can also go to DiabloII.net for more shows and information. Now, as I mentioned earlier, today's a big day for Heroes of the Storm, with the arrival of Deathwing and Experience Globes and all the other changes. Having had some time on the PTR to try it out last week, Garrett and Kyle from Into the Nexus welcome Zane High, the tank main for Scythe Esports, to talk all about the impact that the latest patch will have on the Nexus. You can find all of that on episode 297. It's about time to head into the tavern and talk some Hearthstone now. As you might know, Battlegrounds has been a huge topic of discussion on most Hearthstone podcasts out there. What you may not know is that this new game mode has already inspired people to create two new podcasts focused specifically on Battlegrounds. Both shows have just an episode or two out as of this recording, but if you're like me and you love hearing people talk about Battlegrounds, check out Tavern Tales and Bob's Taverncast. Tavern Tales is from Totemly Drunk and Edinar, who you may be familiar with from their Overwatch podcast. You can find Tavern Tales on most apps and at taverntales.libsyn.com. You can also follow the show on Twitter at taverntaleshs. Bob's Taverncast is hosted by veteran podcasters Jay and Don. You can find this show on Twitter at bobstavernhs, and their website is located at bobstavern.transistor.fm. As for guest appearances on Hearthstone shows, the month of November has been crazy good with that. Episode 206 of Velen's Chosen features top 10 Battlegrounds player educated Collins. Battlegrounds shoutcaster and Twitch streamer Trixler had plenty to talk about with Garrett and Jocelyn in episode 342 of The Angry Chicken. And if you're looking for interviews with members of the Hearthstone dev team, I've got you covered there as well. Tavern Brawl designer Joe Magdalena was a guest on episode 120 of Blizzlet. Now, when I normally talk about Blizzlet, I caution that it's an explicit podcast. Well, for the first time in its show's history, you can listen to an episode of Blizzlet with your kids in the car without fear. Do make sure you listen to this Safer Work episode. It may be the last time that it's a Safer Work podcast. I don't know. I kid, mostly. Hearth Casual, meanwhile, was fortunate to have game designers Mike Dene and Connor Koo on episode 44 to talk about the history of Battlegrounds development, the state of the game right now, and what's to come for it. It was a huge interview that included a few bits of information that I was not expecting to be revealed. You'll also be able to hear more from Mike and Connor on an upcoming episode of Coin Concede. And finally, because I'm really trying to mention at least one Overwatch podcast per episode here, Maddie Gray, the program coordinator for the Vancouver Titans and Seattle Surge, appeared on the latest episode of Ready, Set, Pwn to talk about some of her favorite Titans moments and what the future might have in store for the team. It's kind of hard to believe that if you look at the big picture of podcasting this week, it was kind of a light week because of the holidays, but there's still plenty of other podcasts I haven't mentioned yet, so without further ado...
Cheers, love! The cavalry's here!
It's the end of the show, and that means it's once again time for your weekly podcast roundup. The following is an insanely quick rundown of every show I'm aware of that covered a Blizzard game and produced an episode between November 25th and December 1st of 2019. For General Blizzard Podcast, we have Blizzard Watch and Jewels and Coffee Hour. Your World of Warcraft shows include All Things Azeroth, Azeroth Roundtable, Convert to Raid to Converted, Control at Wild, Do Not Relent, Dungeon Fables for Azeroth, Final Boss, Frazzlecast, Girls Gone Wild, Half a Report, Heart of Azeroth, Lion's Pride Tavern, Lore Watch, Morally Gray, People of Azeroth, The Starting Zone, Stories Around Azeroth, Technically PvP, WoW Challenges, and WoW Talk. WoW Nilla covered WoW Classic. Inside the Tavern for Hearthstone, we have 16 Iron Dust, The Angry Chicken, Arena Sensei, Bob's Tavern Cast, Brewmasters, Coin Conceived, Dr. 3, Hearth Coach, Hero Power Cast, Into the Wild, Legend of the Innkeeper, Squelch, Tavern Tales, Tier 5 Podcast, Phones Chosen, and Walk to Work. Shattered Soulstone covered Diablo, The Pylon took care of StarCraft, Into the Nexus covered Heroes of the Storm, Heroes Never Die, and Omnic Lab covered general Overwatch shows, and for Overwatch Esports, we have Blackwatch Report, High Noon, Mayhem Maniacs, Plat Chat, Push a Point, Ready Set Pwn, and Tactical Crouch. You can catch a weekly podcast roundup during this show and the Rolling Restart. For links to these shows and more great Blizzard podcasting content, go to realm-maintenance.com. That's your podcast news for now. Let's move on to this week's Podcast Spotlight interview. There's a wide variety of Hearthstone podcasts out there nowadays, and it covers the entire spectrum of the player base from casual to grandmaster. My guests this week have a show designed for those of you making that perilous climb on the ranked ladder. They are the co-hosts of Dr. 3, a Hearthstone podcast. And my guests right now, Daring Alkaline, Nikolaius, and Majadeth. Welcome, guys. I've talked to a couple of you before, and it's good to have you on here.
Good to be back.
Thanks for having us.
Good to be here for the first time.
Indeed, Nick. Indeed, yeah. You're the newbie here. The other two I've had a little experience before it as far as podcasting and otherwise goes. And Alkaline, now of course, some people may remember you from the Daring Reporter. Mm-hmm. I was wondering if you'd tell me a little bit about just what led you to create Doctor 3 and invite these two co-hosts with you.
So when I came up with the idea for the podcast, I was doing the Daring Reporter. My co-host left, and that was a lot of work to continue. So bravo to you, Ro, to continue doing what you do. I have a lot of respect for it. But so after I got done with that, I kind of got the itch to get back into podcasting, but I wanted to do more talking about what was interesting to me, and that was climbing ranked ladder, as that is the thing I do more than anything. You know, I play on the ladder. So I wanted to do a show that could not only help myself, but anyone listening get better at the game. So I sent out a call on Twitter. I was like, hey, I want to do a podcast. Can someone let me know if they're interested? And I got a lot of feedback. And then I talked to everyone who sent me a message, and I first decided on Nicolaius because he is a multiple legend top 200 player. So a guy who really knows his way around climbing the ladder. So I was like, well, this is the guy I want with me first because he's going to have a lot more insight than I do. And then Nicolaius went and I went back and we talked to everyone else, and we went with Mage because Mage was doing something that we were already interested in doing, is helping people get better at Hearthstone. So that's kind of how everything came together.
Awesome. And Nick, as far as your role on the show, kind of being at the higher end of gameplay here, can you talk a little bit about just what kind of player? Now, obviously, you guys are talking about making the climb on the rank ladder, but there are many rungs on that ladder. Who do you feel is going to benefit the most from listening to this podcast when they're climbing ranked?
Good question. Probably the player who can get around rank 5 and is mostly looking to do that final push to legend. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we try to make some of the concepts more accessible to everyone, but I think that the people who are really focused on the climb are the people who are trying to get to legend either for the first time, or they're not, it's something that they have only done once or twice and want to get more consistent at it.
Awesome. And Mage, I gotta say, it's been a pleasure listening to the show in general, but it's been really great seeing you take that step from being not just a Twitch streamer, but stepping into the podcast arena. I know this was something that's been kind of a long time coming for you. Can you tell me a little bit about the format of the show and what people can usually expect to hear on a week-to-week basis?
So we have a poll question usually every week that we want to get engagement with the audience, talking about whatever our main topic of the week before was. And so we go over the results of the poll question from the previous week. We talk a little bit about some of the news and some of the important things that are going on in Hearthstone right now, whether it be new cards when we have an expansion coming out like we're in right now, or things that are occurring, things that people are saying on Twitter and various places about the meta or different things like that as well. And then we have a featured topic that we talk about, whether that be a concept that you should think about when you're playing, maybe a strategy session when it comes to playing with or against a specific class, or some other discussion that we feel is interesting and can also help you in that climb towards legend. So it's supposed to be kind of a combination of things that can help you right now, given the current meta state and things like that, or a larger topic that can be useful at any point. And then we wrap it up identifying the poll question for next week, and then we say boom to end the show.
Sounds like a good plan out there. From the sound of it, sounds like a pretty well-structured show, and people can kind of expect that has a bit of a regular flow to it. Now, you guys have had a little over 20 episodes out so far, and I imagine you've gone over a fairly good range of topics. One thing I'd like to ask each of you, starting with Alkaline here, is I know you may not necessarily have an episode list in front of you, and you can't necessarily remember the episode number, but what are one of the biggest topics that you've discussed on your podcast that you felt people can learn a lot from?
That's pretty easy for me to answer. I feel like it's talking about tilt, controlling tilt, and like really coming up with strategies to maintain your emotions while playing the game, because I feel like that's something that can happen to everyone, and just being able to work at it and identify when it's happening is definitely a big thing that I feel like everyone can learn a lot from.
Awesome. What about Nick? Nick, do you have a different topic?
I'm going to kind of cheat a little bit because there are 9 episodes. Back at the very start, when we started this, we recorded a episode about each class, kind of going over their general strengths and weaknesses and some of their core cards in the classic and basic set. And I think that, you know, a good overview of each class. And I think that those are pretty valuable episodes.
Did you just take 9 episodes?
I mean, just take half the podcast.
I mean, if you want to be more specific, I can say the priest one in particular, because I think that was a really interesting one. But I said I was cheating.
I feel like that. I'm getting the short end of the stick.
Nate, you're the underdog here, man. You only got half the history of the show left. What do you choose?
So I think the episode that actually helped me the most was we had an episode where we talked about playing control decks and how to leverage resources most efficiently when you're playing a control deck. And that's something I've struggled with since I've started playing. I'm definitely more of a tempo to kind of, I don't want to say aggro because I'm not quite there, but more of a tempo player, more of a kind of control the board sort of thing, but not quite to that extent. And so I learned quite a bit in that episode. And so if you have any trouble playing control decks, we had an episode on that I think would be of interest and could help you improve.
I have a ton of trouble playing control decks. Now, back in the day of Ice Block, not so much. The good old classic Freeze Mage was a great control deck to play. But,
yes. Man,
you give me that Control Warrior deck list and my eyes just kind of glaze over. I'm just, what?
You and me both.
All right. Well, I mean, let's kind of talk about, you know, relative recent events here, state of the game, that kind of thing. Now, of course, over the last few weeks since BlizzCon 2019, it feels like almost every Hearthstone podcast has been a Battlegrounds podcast. And I think there's a good amount of reason for that. One thing I wanted to ask you, Alkaline, is because Battlegrounds does have kind of a fairly competitive nature to it. You have an MMR that you can see, that you can climb and go up or down. I'm curious as to how much you think Dr. 3 will plan to cover Battlegrounds long term.
Honestly, I'm not sure, to tell you the truth. We haven't really done a lot so far. It doesn't super hold my interest. It seems like a fun diversion more so. And there's a lot more randomness. I know there's a competitive edge and there's a competitive side to it, but it's not something that has drawn my attention at this moment in time. So I think we might talk about it a little bit here and there, but I think we're still going to focus on the latter because I think that's what kind of brought us all here.
All right. And let's just kind of transition over to that, because I think one reason why Battlegrounds has been so big is because just that, it has been a diversion. People, I think, are happy that they have a reason to not necessarily play as much on the ladder and play in the current standard and wild environment. It's a sentiment that I've heard echoed on a number of different podcasts. I kind of just want to get a finger on the pulse, as it were, from each of you. You've mentioned about this on your most recent podcast, but maybe in a more nutshell version. Starting with you, Nick, how do you feel about the Uldum meta, especially since the introduction of those wild cards that were brought into Standard?
So I really enjoyed the meta before the wild cards were introduced. I thought it was really fun and interesting. There was a lot of different decks that you could play. Once the wild cards came back, and in particular Evolve, it kind of just degenerated into something that isn't really fun. It's in the last episode, I think we referred to it as like a slot machine. And so I'm not a fan of this. I haven't played Hearthstone in a few weeks because I can't stand it right now. So I'm taking a break.
You're not the only one. I also heard that on a couple of other shows as well. Mage, what about you? How have you felt about this period of time during what I like to call rabbit season?
Yeah, there's a lot of desert hare out there, mm-hmm. and you have to be careful about that. I echo Nick's statement in that I think the meta prior to the wild cards coming back into Standard, I thought was really good and interesting. And there were definitely powerful decks. It felt like there was a number of different options that you could play. It doesn't necessarily feel that way now that Shaman has the tools that it has to work with. And I would say that I think that this would have been okay if it wouldn't have been 2 months of this. And, mm-hmm. and so I think that I'm not taking a break. I'm trying to mix Battlegrounds into playing ladder. So I'm not playing as much ladder as I have been, but I'm not like burnt out or anything necessarily, but I definitely see where those feelings are coming from. And it doesn't feel like things are as open or as fun as they were prior to the wild cards coming in. And I hope that maybe going forward, if we do events like this, that they're a smaller window. I think the 2 months that we had for the Rise of Mechs was starting to get a bit long. And I think we're seeing that again now here with this event.
All right. Alkaline, anything you want to add to that?
No, I mean, I feel like that kind of echoes how I'm feeling right now. I've played a lot more casual this month than I have anything else. So that's kind of where I'm at. And I usually only play casual if I want to just quickly complete quests. So, you know.
I feel you, man. I feel you. So just to kind of give a heads up to our listeners here, we are recording this on November 24th, a little earlier than usual for the show because of Thanksgiving coming up. So at this moment in time, we don't know as much of the Descent of Dragons set as you would know right now listening to it on the 3rd. With that being said, though, just kind of a little bit of optimism and forward looking into the meta beyond the launch of Descent of Dragons. When these wild cards are gone, we get this heavy dragon environment, Galakrond's brought into the scene and everything. I'm kind of curious from the three of you, starting with Mage here, what classes and perhaps more specifically, what kind of decks are you hoping get some love in Descent of Dragons, and what do you hope to be playing?
Well, I think what we've seen so far is that the Galakrond card itself, I think, is really interesting across the five classes. And the fact that we get all of those right away at the beginning, I think there's going to be a lot of experimentation with those cards. I think the Warrior one that we saw is really powerful, and the Rogue one as well, I think, is really powerful. And I think those right away, I think, are something that we're going to see. I want to see I think I, along with Brian Kibler and a whole bunch of other people, want to see Dragon Paladin. And we have a legendary that definitely looks like she's going to be able to help us with that.
One would hope.
It looks like a strong card to me, and it's not Nazdormu. I wanted a good Nazdormu card to play, and we have a new one, but I don't think that's necessarily the one I was hoping for. So I think any deck that's going to have dragons in it is going to be probably pretty powerful. And then the Galakrond cards, I think. So,
what about you, Alkaline? How do you feel about the Center Dragons, and what are you hoping to play?
I'm interested to see how the side quests work out. I'm not in love with them yet, but the concept is very interesting to me, and I feel like it has some potential, so I'm hoping to see side quests be fun and usable. I'd like to see what the other mage one's going to be. I'm just really looking forward to trying those out. Those are the things that are so far have caught my attention with what's been released.
All right, and Nick, with the nightmare of Evolve Shaman finally coming to an end and peace settling over the horizon, what are you hoping to play once you no longer have to worry about turn four, three, four mana creatures staring at you?
I'm more scared about the turn four Tyrion on top of that, but I think I'd like to play a druid deck that doesn't involve the quest, whether that be dragons or just something else. Druid has been one of my most played classes, but I'm not a fan of the quest, and I haven't really been a fan of the Malagos Druid before that, so I'm kind of hoping to get back into it. We've already seen some pretty good cards for them, so.
All right. Well, the last question I want to ask before we wrap things up here is I try to insert a fun question here when I can, and if I can make it work with the title of the show, all the better. I am so glad that you guys have a show called Doctor 3 because it really set up a very easy question for me to ask you guys. And I'm going to start with Alkaline here. You can give an answer for both Standard and for Wild. So if you want to cover current Hearthstone and all of Hearthstone, what's the best 3-mana neutral card?
3-mana neutral card. Oh, that's putting me on the spot. Zola the Gorgon. Let's just go across the board.
Okay, the card that would end up in, being the inspiration for part of the Sathravar. I like it. I like it. Not the answer I was expecting, but I'm interested to see who Doctor 3 is for the other two of you. What about you, Nick? Who's your Doctor 3?
Oh God, for neutral cards only.
Mm-hmm. The reason why I say that is because I figure since Dr. Boom was a neutral card for being Dr. 7, Dr. 3 would have to be a neutral card.
It's fair.
But all the good 3 drops I can think of are class cards, so I'm just going to have to say Nightmare Amalgam because Spider Tank has always... The Spider Tank stats have always been pretty decent, and this can kind of fit into, you know, the mechs, the dragons, all that kind of stuff.
All right, and Mage, don't let me down. Please pick the card that I'm thinking of in my mind. Who's your Doctor 3?
The card that comes to my mind, and I actually bought a print of it at BlizzCon this year, from Journey to N'Goro, it's the Tar Creeper. That is the card that, to me, I absolutely loved it when I first saw it, saw a lot of play in a lot of different decks, whether it be tempo decks, aggro decks, or even control decks.
I'd like to change my answer.
Now that he's, I think I know what he's going
to
say.
No, not to that. Just, it was another N'Goro card. I totally forgot. It was Stonehill Defender.
Okay,
that's my fair. Doctor 3.
That's a good one.
Which one?
Stonehill Defender, the 1/4 that some discover another top minion.
Okay, that's decent. Okay, so I've got to say, I'm surprised none of you, especially speaking N'Goro, didn't say Vicious Fledgling.
That's
okay.
Reasonable.
That Flappy Bird thing was pretty dominant. Flappy Bird was insane.
It was easier to deal with after the Innovate nerf, to be fair.
Yeah, that's true. And, like, currently, just in standard Hearthstone, no love for Volpera Scoundrel, guys? It's, like, in every deck.
I've played a lot of Volpera Scoundrel. It's a lot of fun. I am not sure. It feels too slow for right now.
Hmm.
So, I feel like I was playing it in, like, a Control Shaman deck. So...
I thought maybe you were going to go mind control tech because we're seeing fair. A lot of it right now.
Now, see, there's doctors and then there's mass murderers. Mind control tech is a mass murderer. Some people save lives. Others just end them brutally.
That's fair. All right.
Well, guys, I hope that this has given my listeners a fair, decent taste of what they can expect to hear on the Doctor 3 podcast. Alkaline, before we go, if you let my listeners know how they can best get connected with you guys and the show.
Okay, so you can email the show at Dr3HS@gmail.com. We're also on Twitter at Dr3HS, and I am on Twitter at Daring Alkaline. And we have a Dr. 3 Discord, which you can find on our Twitter as the top pinned tweet.
Awesome. And Nick, where can they find you on Twitter?
I'm on Twitter at Nikolaius123.
And Mage?
I am on Twitter too, at MageDeath. All one word. Not Mega Death. Some people think that it's
me. Close enough. All right. Well, once again, you three, thank you very much for being on the show this week. I'm a really big fan of your podcast. One of the newer shows out there compared to the rest, but also I think one of the stronger ones, especially of late. You've got a good thing going, and I can't wait to hear what you have in 2020. Thanks for being on the show, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
It's once again time for RNG, and of course, RNG never stands for random number generator here. Nope. Here to figure out what it does stand for is none other than the host of the Dark Moon Herald here for one more time on the show. I'm very glad to have him here. Ringmaster Kevin, how you doing, sir?
I am doing fantastic, Ro. Thank you so much for having me back on your show and your podcasting repertoire. I have to say, it has been a number of years, and I'm very excited to be back.
It has been too long, but one thing I can say is I think Jules Scott has been on the show the most, but you are probably now tied for second. This is either your third or fourth appearance, so you are definitely up there.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and it's always been a great time every time I've joined you. So thank you once again for having me on.
The pleasure is mine. Now, I've already come up with what the N and the G are going to stand for RNG here. What I would like you to kick things off is let me know an adjective that starts with R for this.
Okay, we're going to be going with retro.
Retro, okay. Well, folks, in that case, this week, RNG stands for Retro Noteworthy Gentleman.
100% accurate.
Yeah, you know, it's funny, the last couple of RNGs, I haven't meant it to go that way, but they've been uncannily accurate for the guests I've had on, so it's quite interesting. Speaking of the last guest that I had, that was Bay from Final Boss on this segment here, and he came up with the first question for you, and that is...
Okay.
At what age were you, and do you remember what your first experience with a meme was?
A meme?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. Let's see. Okay. I was, like, expecting to go, like, way, way back in time, but we're only going back, like, 6 years here.
Not too far.
I think my first, like, actual interaction with memes is... I'm going to, please do not quote me or fact check me on this one, but it was, I think about 6 or 7 years ago, 2012 or 13, I was at San Diego Comic-Con, and they had completely decked out the San Diego trolley systems with, like, they wrapped them in advertisements.
Okay.
For various geek shows and stuff like that. So, you know, the whole city can see, you know, like, next on ABC, we have this stupid show. like that kind of thing.
Right.
And they had started off with, like, basically it was just like the picture of a face and a word. And I turned to my buddy, Kelpkeeper Walsh, and I go, dude, this is the stupidest thing ever. Like, it doesn't say a damn thing about anything. And he goes, no, man, like, that's a meme. It's a thing on the internet. I'm like, well, that's really stupid. So I'm glad that they're like trying to do something with it, but I am obviously not the target audience. So I think that was like the first generation of memes that was ever out.
I feel like, and I don't know, man, listeners, if you want to write in and tell me if I'm right or wrong on this, I feel like that one of the earliest memes that I can remember was all your baser belong to us.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You sent us up the bomb.
Yeah.
I guess. I mean, if you only had like that particular picture, but you know, like I was, of course, introduced to it as the full video when it first came out. So
me too.
I mean, it was definitely transformed into a meme from there. Yeah. But yeah, that was fun. I mean, I guess you could also have like the I like turtles kid. You know,
ooh, that's true. I mean, there's a lot of old classics. The kids don't know what they were missing.
Charlie bit me. Yeah.
All right. Well, on the Dark Moon Herald, there has been a running thing going on that it's been said that Kevin is always wrong.
It's been said.
Now, I have to ask you, though, if Kevin is always wrong, is there someone who's always right?
Yes. Yes. Her name is Annalise. I have yet to have Anne ever say like, oh, wow, you got me on that one, Kevin. You are right. Or I should say, I am wrong. She will at times admit when I am right. However, she will never admit that she's wrong.
One thing that I have learned over the past year and a half of interacting with Annalise is there is no point whatsoever in trying to sway her from her stance on something. If she believes in something, she will die on that hill, sword in hand.
Yes, she does. She definitely throws her sucker in the dirt. And half the time I'm not entirely sure like how much of it is like devil's advocate and she just enjoys the argument of it, or you know, if that is like truly her held beliefs. I know Sal would do the same thing in order to create like interest and conversation on the Dark Moon Herald. I would basically say what my opinion is, and then she would just pick up the opposite of that stance in order for us to have a more productive conversation instead of us just sitting there going, yeah, I agree. Yeah, you're right. Of course you're right. Why wouldn't you not be right? You know, for the horde. Hell yeah, for the horde. You know.
What podcast shouldn't have people agreeing with each other all the time, huh? It definitely makes for more interesting conversation on the show when your hosts don't always see completely eye to eye on stuff. And I'd say some of my favorite podcasts usually involve that kind of conversation with differing viewpoints, even when the second person may just be playing devil's advocate.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Because then that allows the listeners themselves to be like, oh, I agree with Kevin, which they never do, or I agree with Sal or Reb or Upsana, you know, and then that kind of like gives them a horse in the race, if you will. And then we get a lot of our email feedback, you know, of like, oh, my gosh, you know, Kevin was so wrong or Sal was so wrong. I just had to write in and let you know about it. So. Yeah, it's fantastic.
Absolutely. All right. Our first question from the random question generator. Are you ready?
Here we go.
Okay. How can technology improve education, and can it even possibly hurt education?
Absolutely. Technology is and has always been a double-edged sword. Anytime that you make something easier access-wise or to do something, it has a net benefit to it. The cost of that, however, is of course being that we forget or we stop learning how to do something without that technology. It becomes a crutch. You know, like for instance, when I first started learning how to use computers, I had to learn how to do programming in DOS. And, you know, like actually know like how a computer works. And then you get like these 4 and 5 year olds that people are like, oh my gosh, look, they can use a tablet. I'm like, no crap, they can use a tablet. They have no idea what they're doing. They just hit the little colored lights as they pop up and hit the little icon that they know is Netflix or YouTube. Like, that's not understanding how a computer works. True. And, you know, it's like anybody can fly a plane as long as the plane is already in the air and going straight.
Yeah,
that's not what we need pilots for.
Takeoff and landing are the most tricky parts of the whole
thing. Takeoff, landing, and when shit starts, you know, bleeping red and the sirens are going off, that's when we need the best people, you know, behind the wheel. And, you know, it's something similar to step away from computers and a different form of technology is like how advanced cars have become. It used to be a thing that in order to like go through your driver's education program, you had to learn how to change oils, change tires, you know, like fix your car. That has gone away, you know, like, and people don't understand how cars work anymore. You know, they get turn the key or push the button to start it. But if you put somebody in a car that's a manual shift, you know, you might as well put them in a fighter jet. Like, they have no idea how to change gears anymore. So, and the same goes for education. Like I'm a training officer mm-hmm. in my field, and I'll get trainees that come out into the field and I'll be like, here, hand write this impound report. And they like look at me weird. And like, you're like, what are you doing? I'm like, hand write it, dude. Like, you know, this is not on our computer. You have to hand write it out and get our sergeant to sign it. And so then they'll write it and I read it over just to make sure that they get like all the facts straight and they have all the information that we need to justify the impound. And, you know, I'll be like, dude, you misspelled impound. Like, you misspelled this and that and this and that. And I actually had one respond to me like, yeah, you know, because, you know, whatever, I have spell checker.
I have to ask you, have you ever seen...
Whoa.
Have you ever seen someone use emoji in a report?
No, thank goodness. Oh my gosh. If I ever had somebody use an emoji in a report, I would... Oh. Yeah, needless to say, they would not be long for this profession. But
that would be the darkest timeline.
Just about. You know, but okay, so that's how like technology can be bad, is mm-hmm. that it provides us with a crutch. You know, like people don't learn how to spell or how to oh my gosh. Like spell checker is like the greatest and worst invention in all the world, because like I have this conversation with my son and my trainees and some of my coworkers, like, hey, you misspelled this word. And they're like, oh, well, spell checker didn't catch it. So like, yes, it's an actual word. You just used the wrong one.
I do that all the time on Twitter. Oh man. So many mistakes.
You know, so like they're so used to having something like flash red, like, no, this is wrong. Okay, I'm going to go back and fix it. But like how many people have looked up a you know, actual like how to spell a word in a dictionary, you know, or something like that. Like it's a lost form. Google Maps is another similar thing. People don't know how to drive anywhere because they have turn by turn directions in their car. And, you know, sometimes if you take that away from somebody, they're a fish out of water. And it's just sad that the art and the knowledge of being able to look at a physical map and figure out where to go is gone. Like, they don't even make Thomas Brothers maps anymore. And that's sad, you know, because like there's definitely a need for that.
Holy
yeah. On the flip side, technology makes the world smaller. And it helps us communicate better and has opened up many opportunities that before, back when I was a teacher, when I taught middle school, Google Earth had just come out. And it was such an awesome thing to be able to like, hey, today we're going to be talking about Egypt or the Great Wall of China and have the map rotate and zoom in on the Great Wall of China. Like, that is so cool and such a great tool that we can use, not to mention the vast amounts of videos that you can find, like how-tos on YouTube. Like, you can teach yourself so many skills just from the internet and the technology that we have, you know, that the world, the opportunities are endless.
Yeah.
It's so that's the point counterpoint to your question.
Absolutely. I mean, honestly, when it comes to podcasting, I'm for the most part self-taught when it comes to podcasting, as far as learning Audacity and how to adjust different things in it and all that. And then, you know, just being able to connect to all these other people that are into podcasting, seeing the advice they have to give. Without technology, there wouldn't be podcasting. There wouldn't be this close relationship that that people like you and I can have miles apart from each other. So it's definitely a big deal.
Yeah, I mean, email is a fantastic thing. But, you know, I still have all the letters that my wife and I wrote to each other when I was, you know, stationed on a mountain for a summer job for 4 months.
Wow.
Where there was no electricity. So everything was like handwritten by the fireplace. Like, so, I mean, like obviously I was in podcasting. I love the heck out of Blizzard games. So I'm not one to be like, ooh, technology is so bad. But there is a self-sufficiency that needs to be taught along with the use of technology.
Yeah, it would be nice for people to feel like they're capable of surviving if there was a prolonged power outage for a few days.
Right, exactly.
And I don't mean just get your backup battery for your cell phone. That's not fair. all right, next question here. We've heard you talk about countless moments of fail in the sideshow of Suck. What I'd like to know today is, what is your most epic moment of win in World of Warcraft?
Oh, epic moment of win. Oh, jeepers. Okay, Iron Council in Ulduar.
Okay.
I was raid leading, and it was one of those fights that we had been bashing our heads against it for a while there, and it was really going through, getting on us, and eventually, like, we were pushing through, and we got to the point where, like, our DPSers started to die off from the fight, and we killed the first guy, we're moving on the second, and we lost another DPSer, and just, like, our DPS just slowly died off, and we were, like, getting closer and closer to the enrage timer. And, like, I'm tanking my brains out. My co-leader was healing his brains out. Like, our DPS were just going nuts on this. And then everybody who died, they started, like, doing, like, this chanting, like, countdown timer on the Berserk. the timer, they're like, 5 seconds! And we killed it with, like, less than a second on the clock. It was just, you know, boom, dead, and everybody just went nuts. so that was definitely an epic win moment.
Yeah, when you have one of those wins where, like, in a 20-person group, you have just all but maybe 2 or 3 people left standing at the end, and you just beat the enrage timer. I've had a couple of those. They're pretty intense. It's about the only time that I really remember nerd screams is through wins like that, for sure.
Yeah, the 0%, like the 1 to none on a boss that you've been working on all night, like, just, oh, it gets so crazy.
Last pull of the night mojo.
Yep, exactly.
All right. Next question. Also a WoW question from me. If WoW was unexpectedly brought down for maintenance for 2 months, I mean, longer than Fortnite being sucked into a black hole, what would you do? What would you do with the time that you would have normally spent in game?
Oh, wow. I would probably shift it to, like, Overwatch or Heroes of the Storm or StarCraft 2, the co-op commanders. Those are a lot of the things that that I do outside of Warcraft. But you know what? I would probably go outside.
I've heard of this mythical place called the Outside.
Yeah. it's kind of funny because, you know, my profession is an outdoor job.
Sure.
So when I do get home, usually, especially during the summertime, like all I want is a dark, quiet, air conditioned office for me to just sit in. But yeah, I mean, if Warcraft went down, I'd probably get way more like of the honey-do lists done around the house. Get a lot of improvements done and, read more books, honestly.
Sure.
That's probably what would fill my time. Either books or Magic the Gathering, if we're talking about stuff and not like actually improve myself, you know, that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. But yeah, to fill that void with more geekiness, it would definitely be reading some like sci-fi fantasy novel series and or just going full into deck building and Magic the Gathering. Hey.
Just quick side question. Have you kept up with Magic all these years? I mean, I played the game back during Revised Edition and stopped around.
Oh, jeepers.
I stopped around Time Spiral. There's a whole lot of Magic that I've missed out on.
Yeah. To answer your question, no, I didn't.
Okay.
I started playing around Ursa's Destiny.
Okay. That was a broken set.
It was super broken, followed up by the Mercadian Mass Cycle, which mm-hmm. was also insanely broken. And I played that for a couple years, like really hard and heavy. I played Magic, never like tournament, but yeah. with friends all the time. And turns out I was too broke to actually fund me playing at any kind of competitive level in Magic. And so I kind of gave up on it when I was just losing constantly at my local game store mm-hmm. by these people who just made these stupid decks that make me wanted to punch them in the face.
And people complain about pay to win in mobile games.
Oh my gosh, right? I'm like, I don't have $30 to spend, or I should say $120 to buy four copies of this $30 card. So I basically gave it up. Mm-hmm. And then Dustin Turley from the Horde for Life podcast, that guy, he had his bachelor party, which wasn't, you know, which was like maybe five, six years ago now. Mm-hmm. It was an all night gaming session.
Oh, wow.
You know, because he's like, what, you know, bachelor parties are supposed to be like, what can you not do once you're married? Well, you can't have an all, you know. Your guy's over for an all night video gaming, you know, set, you know, gaming geek out. So that was it. It was an all nighter. And one of the things that we did was a Magic draft tournament.
Nice.
And so it's like, after that, it's like, wait a second. We all love playing Magic. And there's this new format called Commander where I can actually take like the cards that I played with like two decades ago. And, you know, like make a deck and be like almost competitive and like they have pre-cons for it. Like, this is awesome, you know? So we started having like Commander game nights and, you know, and then drafting, you know, someone would buy a box because now we're actually old enough where we can afford to buy a box of Magic boosters, you know, because, you know, our allowance isn't $20 a month.
Right.
So, So yeah, basically Dustin got me back in and now we have a whole group of friends that gets together about once a month or so to play draft or commander or whatever. And I dragged my son into it. So we've been playing for the last like 5-6 sets now. And it's been awesome.
That is great. I've been dabbling a little bit in the Magic Online arena here and there. I've mostly been playing Hearthstone, but I will say if anything's going to get me back into Magic the Gathering, it's probably going to be that arena version.
Yeah, the arena is really sweet. There are some things that I wish it was, and where like if you buy like a box of boosters in real life, kind of like Pokemon style, sure. like you would get a code in order to have a booster box in Magic Arena, or if you buy this pre-con in life, you get in real life, you get the code for that pre-con in the arena. And that's basically how you get me. Cause you know, I never went to Magic Online because I thought it was just dumb as all get out. Yep. That, like, I own this card in real life, and now I have to go pay real money to play it in Magic Online? No. I'm not going to buy this card twice.
I don't blame
or it. Eight times.
For code, even.
Right, exactly, exactly.
All right, well, a couple more questions I have here for you. Let's pull one from the random question generator, and this one's kind of an all-encompassing general one here. What is the best way for you to stay motivated and complete your goals?
My wife would be so proud of me that this is the first thing that popped into my head. Make a list. Because once, and I kind of subscribe to this when it comes to a lot of things, in that, like, if you name it, then you own it, you know? And so a lot of times when it comes to, like, podcasting, or like, hey, I've been thinking about doing this segment or this podcast or blog or something like that. If I come up with a name for it, it makes it real-er. And so then I'm like that much more committed in order to do it. And that's kind of like what a list does, is you're naming the stuff that you want to get done. And, you know, this isn't like chores around the house kind of a list.
Yeah.
This is like, you know, stuff that that you're excited to do, but it might be multifaceted. And so, you know, it's like, where do you start? You start at the beginning. Well, no crap, dipshit. you know, but where is the actual beginning? You know, anything can be accomplished with baby steps.
Sure.
But you need to know the path to walk those baby steps down. And so if you have your starting point and your goal and a path, you can do anything that is required in between. But you got to know that path in between.
Make a plan and then stick to
make a plan. Exactly. And give yourself a timeline.
Yeah.
You know, because I'm a procrastinator in real life.
Aren't all podcasters really?
just about. Yeah, that's one of the funniest moments of our last episode was the fact that Kelp Keeper Walsh sent in his like memorial like message to me. Like during our recording, I'm like, I don't know how much time Sal gave you in advance to do this, John, but I'm pretty sure it wouldn't have mattered if she had asked you yesterday or 2 months ago. You still would have done it during our show. So that was really funny. And so like, if you can set an artificial time, like by this time, this needs to get done. And if I don't get it done by this date and time, how important is it to me? You know, you should always like, maybe this is the manager in me, but like you make a plan, you execute the plan, and then you go back and be like, is this plan working?
Yeah.
If the answer is yes, then continue with the plan. If the answer is no,
toss out
then
the plan.
Stop. Exactly. You got to figure out what's going on. I guess to answer, there are many steps that I take in order to stay motivated.
Hey, it's a good foundation. It's a great foundation. All right. Let me go to my third and final random generated question here. What quote has always stuck with you? It can be a motivational quote, just a quote from a movie, just something that is always stuck in your head.
Oh, you know, I think the one, democracy is the worst form of government except for all the others. That one when I was studying Greek philosophy really stood out for me. But there's another one from Adam Smith, and it says, if someone relies on the generosity of humans alone to survive, they will surely die. And that is more of a quote to inspire me into two different but similar actions. One, make sure that I am not relying on others, in order to survive, exist, accomplish my goals, or know how to do something. So like, for instance, if I, and I guess this kind of goes back into my technology talk, you know, it's like, I know how to change the oil to my car.
Yeah.
Because I learned how to do that. Now I can make that determination on my own. Do, is it, you know, what's the cost benefit to paying somebody else to do it or doing it by myself, for myself? If you, you know, teach a man to, you know, give a man a fish or teach a man to fish, kind of a deal. I want to be the learner that learns how to fish. I don't just accept the fish. I want to learn how things work and why they do that kind of stuff, so I am self-sufficient. And then the second part of this quote that inspires me is that I need to be the generous human that can help other people survive, be self-sufficient, and then take that sufficiency and help teach other people and help support other people in their lives, so that not only can they, you know, live for the now, but live for the forever. And yeah, that's
great. Definitely a far deeper and more profound answer than I was expecting for that question. It's all these answers have been awesome, man.
Okay, well let me cap it then with this. I knew it. I'm surrounded by assholes.
You know, I hate that movie so much.
What?
I've mentioned this a couple of times before. I go by Brian Black as a radio name, but my real name is Brian Schwartz. Schwartz is German for black. May the Schwartz be with you was said to me so many times in school. I couldn't stand it. I hate my actual last name so much because of that movie.
Well, Ro, I see your Schwartz is as big as yes. mine. Now let's see how well you handle it.
Oh, man, I hate it when I get my Schwartz twisted. Okay.
Okay, that is a legitimate reason to not like that movie.
Yeah.
But you see how you enjoy the movie, too.
I can laugh at it now. I can laugh at it now. All right. Two questions left here before the last one here. Yeah, I'm running long, but you know what, man? For you, I don't care if I'm running long for this. This has been great. What advice do you have to anyone listening right now who at some point has pondered doing a podcast but just hasn't taken that first step yet?
Easy. It's do you have something to say about a particular topic that you are passionate about and do you think other people will want to listen to it? If the answer is yes to both of those, then screw it, download the free software, grab your Guitar Hero microphone and name it and get to it. Once you have made that determination that like, hey, I got something to say, you know, I know I love the thing that inspired me was like when I would talk about Warcraft with my friend Joe, like other people would like sit down and listen to what we were saying, you know, and like we would draw people into our conversation. So that was kind of like that catalyst of like, hey, in real life, people are listening to us talk about Warcraft. So there should be like, we should be able to make that jump into the podcasting sphere.
Yeah.
And have more people listen that, join the conversation that way. And, you know, like once you get into it, then there's a lot of, again, you know, baby steps. Like you got to name it, you got to set up everything. But Pat Crane has an amazing guide on how to actually get your podcast set up, do the vast majority of the stuff for free or very minimal cost. That's the great thing about podcasting is you can really just jump into it. And then I would just highly encourage listen to at least 10 to 15 other podcasts that are out there that are that are talking about what you want to talk about. Or like, for instance, Warcraft is the example I just go back to. It's, you know, like I listened to a lot of Warcraft podcasts before I started. And when I thought like, okay, I would like to make a Warcraft podcast, the basis of it was, this is what like Girls Gone WoW does well, and I would like to emulate that. This is what Girls Gone WoW doesn't do well, in my opinion, obviously. Mm-hmm. And I want to make sure that I don't do that. This is what the instance does well that I like, and this is what the instance does that I don't like. And, you know, the Guardian tank and the mana cooler, I mean, Horde for Life.
My you epic know, like, heals. The, man, there's a lot of great shows that aren't around anymore.
Right? So like there are many like there are always pros pluses and negatives that you can get out of anybody else's show, and tailor your show to be something different that you would want to listen to. Mm-hmm. And then other people will come to your show.
You know, what I've done has been pretty much that. I mean, I will make no bones about it. I steal little bits and pieces from all the podcasts I like. When I say, ladies and gentlemen, Horde and Alliance podcasters and podcastees, a good chunk of that is inspired from what you say on the Dark Moon Herald. I absolutely, all props to you on that one.
I thought that sounded familiar.
Give credit where credit is due. I completely borrowed a good chunk of that. All right. Next to last question here. If you were to return to podcasting, what kind of podcast would you do that wasn't about World of Warcraft?
Oh, wow. That's a really good question. You know, there have been a couple other podcasts that, like, you know, I came close to doing, or, you know, just never got a name. Mm-hmm. That I was thinking about, like, obviously, like I was in the works. I had bumpers and everything for it for a Heroes of the Storm podcast. And then that just fell through.
I remember at one time you wanted to combine the two and call it Hearthstorm, I think.
Yeah. The Hearthstorm.
Yeah.
It was going to be Hearthstone and Heroes of the Storm, and it was going to be cool because those were the other two free to play games from Blizzard that we were playing. And yeah, it almost made it to the first episode recording and then just didn't. Mm. But I don't think I would do something about Blizzard games. Mm-hmm. Because if I was to do a podcast about a Blizzard game other than Warcraft, I would have done it already.
Sure.
There was really nothing holding me back from that. So I would probably do a podcast talking about law enforcement. I know it would be like a very difficult line to walk.
Yeah.
Because of a lot of political climate, a lot of how, you know, like there's a whole lot of support for law enforcement in and around the country, and there's a lot of negative feelings towards law enforcement in and around the community.
Sure.
Thankfully, way more positive than negative. Mm-hmm. I actually did name this one. It's going to be called the 5-0 Down Low.
Oh, nice.
And basically, it would be kind of like an idea where I would talk about like some funny story, omitting names and locations, of course, about something, you know, crazy or silly that I experienced, answer questions about, you know, certain laws or law enforcement or stances and stuff like that, because a lot of people don't understand what we do as officers and what our full job entails. Like they see cops or live PD, and they understand that that's not the whole job, but until you like come on a ride along and actually experience what it's like to go to a call and, you know, have to play, you know, therapist or marriage counselor, medic, dad, you know, like it's truly a unique experience especially for ride-alongs or new officers, to when you respond to a call of like domestic violence or something crazy where you just don't know what to expect, and you're walking up to a house going like, you know, thinking to yourself like, okay, these are the most likely scenarios and this is what I got to do in order to prepare for those, and these are the crazy off the wall scenarios and this is what I'm going to do to prepare for those, and pray that when I knock on this door, bullets don't come zinging through
it. Right.
So so there's so many aspects to the psyche of police officers that I felt that a good podcast of good humor with some silly stuff, some real talk with some of the more emotional stuff, some like physical training stuff, because you have to stay on top of your physical game. You got to stay on top of your mental game. You need to stay on top of your religious game, or spiritual game, because man, when you see the kind of stuff that we see, if you don't have God, I mean, it can get really, really scary, and depression can hit really, really hard. So there would be like all aspects of like very small aspects of that throughout the podcast, and like, you know, 5-10 minute segments for each one. And just, you know, go through like news or stuff like that, have maybe like an in memoriam for the officers that had been killed in the country between, you know, the last episode and that episode. So like, so as you can tell, like I've put but it's another one of those things that like, do I have the time, the energy, and would my department actually support me in doing this? Because the last thing I want is to get an internal affairs sergeant to give me a call and be like, hey, so there's this podcast and we need to talk. It's like, oh, shoot.
Well, if that podcast ever does become a reality, let me know about it, because I would definitely want to check that out.
Of course. Of course.
Kevin, man, it has been awesome talking to you. And, you know, before we get to the having you come up with the next question for the last guest, I need to take this moment. I said it in text during the last recording of the Dark Moon Herald, but some people may not be aware of this. This year and in many previous years, you have been a very helpful part for World of Podcasts. I mean, you've done so much, not just with your show and what you've done for the community and stuff surrounding that, but with World of Podcasts and everything tied to that. Of all of the members in this podcasting community that I know of, you are among the best, and I am going to sorely miss you.
Well, a very humbling statement. Thank you. Yeah, I had the privilege this last Calm Before the Storm of kind of filling your shoes at the show and running the Q&A and the the different panels. And that was a crazy experience. It was a lot of fun.
Organized chaos.
Yes, very much so. But thank you, Ro. I really appreciate it.
All right. And without further ado, I need you to come up with the first question for the next guest on RNG.
Okay. So I hope that your next guest is an avid WoW player and maybe or may not have similar feelings to the co-host that I've had on the Dark Moon Herald. And that is, what would the first three lines of your love letter to Jaina or Anduin B?
That is an awesome question. I can't wait to answer that. You can find Kevin on Twitter at Kevin Old Scratch. And folks, if you haven't done so already, I don't care how many episodes of that podcast you've listened to, do yourself a favor, listen to the final episode of the Dark Moon Herald, and please have some Kleenex handy.
Yeah, you know, at that last episode, it was I couldn't have asked for a better finale.
It was
really great. So, you know, a huge shout out and appreciation to everybody who joined us in the chat room, I should say, for that last episode, along with Sal, who just made it so special. And, you know, Rodney, Ipsana, Skolnick, and Walsh for helping me put together that show over the years.
Absolutely. Kevin, thank you once again for everything you have done on that show and beyond. May you have a wonderful new year. And one way or another, I hope to see you in game.
Absolutely.
And that sound means your update is complete. It's time to press the play button and finish up those Thanksgiving leftovers. I know I have a couple slices of pumpkin pie left and some turkey. I'm really hesitant about the turkey leftovers because I'm a white meat person when it comes to turkey. I just find dark meat turkey to be too greasy, but that's just me. If you guys have any suggestions for what to do with dark meat turkey leftovers, feel free to let me know. You can do that by following me at Brian Podcaster on Twitter, or you can follow the show on Twitter at Realm Podcast. If you're a podcaster and have news about your show or a promo to send in, or if you're a listener with questions about Blizzard games or podcasts for those games, send those emails to realmpodcast@gmail.com. Episode 300 is almost here. It's going to be here on December 17th, and, you know, I have been fairly cryptic about it. If you follow the show and myself on Twitter, you have seen a few tweets with hashtag RM300 in it that may have you asking questions. I really, really want to answer those questions right now, but that is not entirely up to me. I can tell you this much. An announcement is going to be made on December 16th, and episode 300 the next day will relate to that announcement. And no, I'm not moving to California to work for Blizzard. I wish, but that is not the case. Episode 300 is going to be a show about beginnings, endings, and quite honestly, I don't think you'll want to miss it. Until then, folks, I've been Ro, you've been you, and Realm Maintenance has been completed. This podcast has been a presentation of Realm Maintenance Productions, copyright 2019, and is part of the Frozen Fox Media Network. You can find more great shows at frozenfoxmedia.com. Certain audio portions of this podcast belong entirely to Blizzard Entertainment, and no copyright infringement is intended. The show's theme music is a cover of Call to Arms by Emma Fox. Thanks again to the hosts of Dr. 3 and to Ringmaster Kevin for joining me this week. You can follow them on Twitter at Dr3HS and at Kevin Oldscratch. Thank you for your interest, your retweets, and your downloads of this show and others in the Blizzard podcasting community. And as always, thanks for listening.
This podcast is part of the Frozen Fox Media Network. Visit us at frozenfoxmedia.com for information about this and all the other content we offer. You can also find us on Twitter at Frozen Fox Media. Frozen Fox Media, cool content for the gaming community.